His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right. Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power. Thank you so much for tuning in on a special night, which is Thursday, which I know many of you all wanted to hear from us yesterday, but unfortunately, sometimes when the ancestors and the creator say sit down, you have to sit down. At any rate, I definitely want to bring my co-host on here. Without further ado, I'm going to pick on her phone. It's Sister Sylvia, 757-208. You're on Black Power, Eric, Queen.
Black Power.
Black Power Queen. At any rate, tonight we do have a special show in regards to the needs of women. In regards to, we do have a special guest that will be coming on that will be talking about some police brutality done to her son. And also, tonight will be one of those nights that we're going to kind of dig into the police brutality cases. If anybody has any police brutality cases they would like to call in about, tonight will be that night. And also we want to talk about a couple warm-up questions or questions that a lot of people may or may not know in regards to police brutality or in regards to when you get pulled over by an officer and when you're getting searched and that kind of thing. So we definitely will be discussing that kind of tidbit tonight. And any other issues, if you would like to talk about that, that is fine as well. So, sister, I'm going to go ahead and let you your intro.
Okay. I'm Sister Sylvia. Glad to be with you all tonight. My apologies that we missed out last night, but tonight we're going to be discussing police brutality. And I have actually did a little research this week and try to find some cases that we can discuss that I am ashamed to say that I didn't know anything about. Sister, did you want me to go ahead and start with any cases or? Okay, I'll go ahead. I did come across this case that happened like a few years ago about a 12-year-old girl by the name of Diamond Milburn. And I'm not really too familiar with that case outside of what I read up on this past week, but the situation had happened that this young lady was out in her yard. This was in Texas, and she was doing something for her mom, and three undercover police officers, thinking she was a prostitute, pulled up and started beating on her. And I think the young lady ended up suffering from a concussion, broken nose. Now she's having seizures, I believe, and just different issues. But on top of that, they end up going to her school like a couple weeks later and arresting her for assaulting a police officer. And
this is after she got her ass whipped.
Right. And I believe that's still the lawsuit is still pending, because what I did was I tried to contact the lawyer to see if he wanted to, you know, shed some light on the story, but he didn't want to speak upon it at the moment. But it was crazy. It was crazy. So they pretty much got away with it. So they're suing them civilly. So I don't know what's going on with that yet, but you know, it's terrible what they did to this young lady.
Here's a couple of misconceptions. I just want to throw a couple of misconceptions, because I promised, like, through the show, we would throw out a couple of misconceptions about police rights. And these are questions, just a couple for right now. Here's one question, and this is a lot of people is a misconception about. Can a male officer search a female? Guess what? Yes, a male officer can search a female. It's only a courtesy that the female officer searches a female civilian.
Right.
Sorry. So it definitely that's a misconception. So a male officer can search you.
I remember when I was younger, when I first started driving, and this was like, you know, 10 plus years ago. I remember watching on the news. You know, they were giving you all the do's and don'ts when you get pulled over by the police, and they had told, they would say that, you know, if you're a single woman and you're getting pulled over by the police, that you have the right to drive to a well-lit area. You don't have to pull over if it was completely dark. Now, knowing that I live in a country where there's no lights, you know, do you know, 2 years ago, I did that. I drove until I got to a well-lit area, and he charged me with evading and eluding the police.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Here's another one. Let me say this, and let me throw this one out, because I know we're getting ready to one of our callers. Just stand by. We're going to answer you now. But one of our callers, raise your hand, Queen, too, by the way. So we can pick on you to get you on here. The thing, right, here's another question. Can police beat someone if they run? Let me tell you the answer to this. No, legally, they can only use force necessarily to subdue a person. However, attitude and body language can make a difference in how you treat it. This is what this Know Your Rights workshop manual is what I have here and what I'm reading from, just to let you all know. So that's a couple, as I promised and stated before. So they can use necessary force, but they're not supposed to overly do it, supposedly. But, of course, this is not listened to in most cases, because, of course, that's why we're having this show called Police Brutality. If it was listened to, we wouldn't be having such a show. But, yes, I would definitely like for people to really call in regards to this matter. If we have any more issues in dealing with the police officers, what they can and cannot do, if anybody knows more on this, call them as well, because different states speak with different folks.
But you know what, I'm going to tell you something, sister. My father used to be a police officer, and he was traveling through Fayetteville, North Carolina as an officer. He was an officer in D.C., and they actually pulled him over and pulled him out the car and beat him as an officer after he identified himself. And he ended up losing his job behind that. So, I mean, they do it to each other as well. You know what I'm saying? And it becomes such a racial thing, because I don't really know what the situation, because I don't really, you know, talk to my father like that. So I don't really know what the situation, why he was pulled over. But I remember them pulling him out and beating him. And he ended up getting arrested because they said that he was trying to fight him back, and he should have known better because he was the law too. But it just didn't matter when it came down to it, because they ended up putting him on a 6-month suspension first, and then they terminated his position.
And also, you know, another one of our topics is surviving pending revolution. That does fit in with what we basically are saying. So it's absolutely necessary that we began to think about what are we going to do next, because, again, looking at the way that we're treated as so-called United States citizens, which we know we're not,
right.
But, you know, that's what their books say. They say that we're three-fifths, you know, human beings. So because of that, what are we going to do next in regards to that, and on the terms of getting our own situation, getting our own nation, you know what I mean? Because that's very, very, very important. But I guess we can go ahead and pull our gas on, because I know that's basically what one of the things we're here for. So let me get her on here. Okay, I got to find her. Let's see if she called in. Okay, here we go. We have 980-328. You're on Black Power Radio. How you doing? Hello? 908-328-48. You're on Black Power Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, we're waiting for you. You're on Black Power Radio. You're live on air right now, Queen.
Hi, my name is Shantaya, and I live in Union County, North Carolina. And I appreciate you all for having me on your show. I'm a mother of seven black males. Hello?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but we can hear you. Go ahead.
My son attends Monroe High School in Monroe, North Carolina. He was assaulted there, and the teachers started to harass him, and the principal, they started to harass Brandon, and he didn't want to go to school. He didn't even want to go on the porch. The aggressor was not charged with assaulting him. The teachers played a part in it. I called the state school board on the school when they got a whiff of my phone call, because I wasn't getting any results from Dr. Mike Webb, one of the assistant superintendents. They decided they were going to search Brandon when he got back to school the next day. Got a phone call that they had searched Brandon. When I called the school to find out why, after I got this phone call, I got in my car and I proceeded on my way, but still on the phone, trying to get some clarity on what was going on. And I was told, well, he brought a book bag Tuesday. Well, how many kids in the school don't bring book bags to school? They bring book bags. 90-something percent of the kids have book bags in school. So when I got to the school, they would not even allow me in the resource officer, which is a regular Monroe officer, in his office with my son. They shut the door and took me in another room. When they took me in another room, they had me in the other room with two other staff members to actually see if they could calm the situation with me and see if I would sweep it under the rug. When they found out that I wanted it investigated because you just searched him, you didn't search the aggressor, the child that assaulted him. When they found out what I was going to do, they said, well, no, he's fine, he's calm. He's not being charged with anything because he didn't do anything. We didn't find anything on him. When I proceeded to leave the school and they found out that I was going to make other phone calls and have it investigated, they told me to wait at the door and then reach me a piece of paper, which was a citation for assault on a government official. My son, he still remained calm. When I got him away from the school, he said, Mama, you won't believe what they did to me inside that school. I don't ever want to go back to school again. And I said, why not, Brandon? He said, Mom, he said he pushed me. He shoved me with his chest. He pushed me. And I don't mean just a regular push. He said, Mommy, he pushed me way across the room. He put his elbow in my neck. I said, what was the principal and the teacher doing? He said they laid back in chairs and they were laughing. And mind you, his teacher is African American. And when I heard about what happened to my child, it hurt me. It hurt me, and it hurt me to the point that it just put me in the mind of a house nigga. From that point on, I said this has to change, and change has to start with me and my son. And I'm so glad that ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've broken up just a little bit, Queen.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. And then I have a couple. We have a couple of questions. Well, we have a lot of questions to ask you. At what point did? Well, number one, what essentially happened where your son and another student got into a disagreement, so to speak.
My son was in the classroom having problems out of a child in the classroom whose father just happened to be a part of a gang. My son didn't want any parts of this communication because I'm not telling you that Brandon is this perfect kid, but Brandon wants to change. Brandon wants to do better. So Brandon was put in this program, and we only took on this program because we thought it was beneficial to Brandon. The young man started to harass Brandon. The teacher told me he had this young man under control. Ma'am?
Okay. Okay, no, we're listening. I guess it might be the phone feedback. Okay, so at that point, so basically your son was being bullied by another student.
And not only was he being bullied by the student, he started being bullied by the teacher. And when I spoke with the teacher spoke to me very unprofessional, spoke to me as if I was a nobody, you know, and spoke to me as if even his superiors would let him get away with it. But when they realized what had happened and they knew they had so much against them, that's when they decided to search my son.
Okay, so they searched your son, but did not search the other young man.
They did not search the aggressor. They did not charge the aggressor because his parents did not get involved in what was going on. They let them suspend him, and they closed their mouths. Up here where I live at, most black parents do not speak out for their children. They don't get involved because if you do, they may come to your house with social services. They will find a way to come inside your home. They just took a lady's 5 children. They came up in my home and placed my children. And the reason why, they said because that all my children was in the house dead was their excuse for coming to my home. So this is not the first time that I've dealt with the law and injustice, but I'm the only one that's willing to speak out.
Okay, so Sylvia, do you have any questions for the sister? I know you do.
Yeah. Now, you said you were in Monroe County?
Monroe, North. I'm in Union County.
What is that at?
There's a bunch of little cities here, towns here. There's Monroe, there's Wingate. And there's Marshfield, and I think Stallings is a part of Union County.
Okay. Now, you said that that social services has been called out to your home before, right?
Then, what I meant by that is I had a house fire, and no one was in my home. And the resource officer said that she overheard the phone call come through, and that's why she showed up. But she made a phone call and said that all the children was in the home, that there were 3 children in my home, and that they were deceased.
Wow. Okay, now your son, you said your son was getting bullied at school. Now, has this always been an ongoing problem, or has this something that just started? And has he always had an issue with his teachers?
No. This is a new school. This is a new class. The only difference about this particular school is he goes to Monroe High School, but we live in Wingate, North Carolina, the town over. And most of the people or the children, they've been raised to dislike anybody that's not from or that does not live in Monroe.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something, sister, now. I live in Surrey, Virginia, and I don't know if you're familiar with Surrey. But that's where Mike Vick was at with the dogs and everything. So I'd say like maybe about 3 or 4 houses down from where he was at. But in this particular town, they're like that. I always say it's kind of like a cult around here. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like everybody around here is related, and it's like more family oriented. So if you're an outsider, you get treated that way, and that's by the law, the schools, and everyone around here. And I had a lot of issues with my kids. And my kids pretty much grew up here. you know, because I don't know if you heard my story before. My children were in foster care, but since I had them back, this is where we live. And I feel your pain on that because I'm, like, at the school every other day protesting.
Yes,
and I'm like you. I'm one of those, like, you know, these are my babies. I'm a warrior anyway, so I'm going to go to war for mine, you know.
Yes.
So, which causes a lot of issues, but at the same time, I mean, I've been to the governor of Virginia as far as, I mean, I keep stepping above everybody's head because if I don't get, you know what I'm saying, if I don't get some type of action and my children are not going to be sent to school being mistreated, you know what I'm saying? So I got to do what I have to do. Now, what I would say to you is I'm not sure where they're going to go as far as, you know, like you said, you got a citation, so I'm guessing you have to go to court, right?
Yes, he has a court date for.
Okay. So what I would do is I would just go ahead and go to court and see what happens, and if they don't throw it out, which they most likely will, you know what I'm saying? But if they don't, then I would definitely start protesting, and I would just bring the heat down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's what I've been doing since the beginning. I'm not going to wait till you go to court to protest. I'm protesting now. I've decided not to just protest for him. That's for every young black male or every young child out there. They deserve a chance. I don't care what they did in their past. If they have a history of anything,
exactly.
They deserve a chance.
Which is true. Now, are you sending him back to school? Like, is he still having issues at school, or he hasn't went back yet?
We tried to send him back. He went back, and they started trying to intimidate him, trying to make him sit next to the young man, to the point where I went and picked him up from school. So, and he has a computer, so he have it set up where he can do his work from his computer.
Okay.
Well, Queen, who else? You said, let me make sure I heard you correctly. Well, let me just ask you flat out. So did basically they just watch there and sat and let another student beat on him, basically?
Yes, and then they made excuses as to why they let it happen.
Well, did they themselves put their hand on your son?
Yes, the teacher did,
okay.
And then that was like a day prior to this incident. And he and the principal are best friends. The principal.
Okay,
and the teacher.
So the teacher did, the principal did lay hands on him, correct?
Yes, and the police officer.
Okay, and a police officer. Okay, so that's who. Okay, so what happened with that? Tell us
they,
more
they
about that.
They shut him in a room. They didn't want anyone to know what they was doing. To my son in the room.
Okay.
He asked if they had cameras in there, if they was recording what was going on in there, and they just bullied him around in there. And when I came, they would not let me inside that room.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I don't know about North Carolina, but I know here, you can't question a child without the parent being present. You know.
I mean, from my understanding, that's the same thing. And when I questioned Mike Webb, the assistant superintendent, about it, he said, well, I said, there was no neutral party there to represent my son. You should have called me, and I would have been there. And what he said to me was, the principal represented my son.
Yes, ma'am. On the time when your son said that he was in the room with them, what are some of the things that they did to him and said to him, the police officer? Is it an actual police officer or is it a security guard?
He's a police officer from Monroe Police Department.
Gotcha.
But he has an office in the school.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Okay, so what types of things did they say to your son, or what types of things they do to him, though?
They told him that he was being searched. They told him that he could not call home. He just said they just bullied him. They pushed him around. They knocked him around. They hit him in the back of the neck. One response. And the whole time,
right.
he remained calm.
Hmm.
because he knew. He said he saw someone that knew me. He said, and I he said he knew that I was coming.
Okay. Sister Sylvia, do you have any more questions? We're going to get some more people on here. Sister, if you could hang on for a minute, because I'm sure people might have more questions to ask or ask anybody on the panel.
What I do want you to do, though, I want you to take down my email address and email me tomorrow, and I'll get in touch with you, and then I'll tell you, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to ask, because, see, we can't let this go, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
We can't let this go, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to find out what you can do, you know, in the state of North Carolina for your son.
Okay.
So you can email me at sylestele@aol.com.
Okay, so one more thing before I start pulling everybody else to ask questions or may have some comments or may have a situation themselves. Your son, so basically what you're saying is your son remained calm at all times. He remained silent. Did he refuse the search?
No, ma'am. He allowed them to search him. He did not refuse the search. He did not say anything. And they had just recently, like they overdid it because there was a body found on that school property that morning.
Wow.
No parents were alerted about this body. This black young male that was found on the property, and every day from that Friday to that particular Monday, they found a young black male in Monroe dead.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, sister. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm just going to have you hang on, keep your mouth open, and what we're going to do is we're going to move on to other people that may have other comments. Okay, here we go. I'm just trying to make sure. We have 614-35791. You're on Black Power Radio.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Black
Power. Tell us what's going on. Do you got something going on in your city? Any police brutality or pending revolution?
Ma'am.
What you going to do as a sister or a black woman?
Six people been murdered by a police officer in the month of August in Columbus, Ohio. The last one was shot twice in the back, one in the head, handcuffed, face down, search him and drug him while he was dead and left him laying down for 6 to 7 hours. The boy's dead and killed the boy's mom. And they spit the police officer with pay. And they would not get the police officer's name out like that. And I don't know what she's doing now, but I'm still working on it. I've done a fundraiser for the mom and all that. But we're still working on that. And the police officer is bad in Columbus, Ohio. They jump out boys, be harassing these young black guys in Columbus, Ohio. But when I step out, I write badges down, the car number down, whatever, and the times. The police officer show up. I just keep an eye on them because they don't harass me. They don't talk to me. I don't know why, but they don't.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Okay, good, Queen. Well, let me ask you a question. When this is happening, do you usually have like a cell phone in handy or a camera or, you know? That's good to write down badges.
We have cell phone and we got cameras on our cell phone. And when the police officer puts mine over it now in Columbus, Ohio, a lot of us go together and watch what they do. It don't be like one or two, it'd be like five of us or more and watch what they take care of the procedures. So, and then they fade away, so they know we're sticking together. We all need to stick together.
Exactly. That is so, so true. Because the police officer is not our friend in no way, case, shape, or form. And just to let everybody know, we should always refuse a search. Even if they're going to do it anyway, even if they invoke our rights, we still have the right to refuse a search. So, you know, just to put that out there as well, I would told y'all we'll give y'all some tidbits here that we should know about the, and this is really the 13th Amendment, just so, you know, a lot of us may not know what the 13th Amendment is. But we do have, we do reserve the right to remain silent, refuse a search, and file a complaint. Although, we honestly and realistically know that with these complaints, a lot of times they are swept up under the door. However, we still have the right to make complaints. Just because, you know, you think or you know that you feel like it's nothing's going to be done about it, but you can. If you get enough people involved, some things actually can be done about this. Okay. Queen, do you have anything else to add to guests? I mean, to add our guests, to ask our guests or anything like that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't know
which
Queen you were talking to.
I'd like to also ask was Tony white or black?
For our guests, Queen, they want to know the what was the police officer that laid hands on your son, black or white?
He was white.
He was white?
What was the student? Was the student black or white also?
The student was black, but what they said is that he came from Sun Valley High School, which is a, in Indian Trails, where where they have money at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came out of his mouth. He said, "Well, your child is from this school, and this child is from that school. This is prior. This is a day before they even searched my child."
Mm-hmm. This is a day before the incident even occurred, or
it's like they did their research between the two boys. The other young man, like the houses, I live in a nice home, but where this young man live at, his house probably makes 2 or 3 a month, and they have money there. So he started bringing up the fact that that young man came from Sun Valley High School, and my son came from Forest Hills High School. So they became biased.
Right.
And I'm the parent. I am the parent in Union County that writes the grant, that puts the programs together. There's nothing for these young black men and these children, period, to do. So I am the face that the school sees. I am the face that the neighborhood sees.
Wow. Okay. So you also think that because of what you do within the community, you think also that or you feel also that your son was harassed based upon that as well.
Yes, I think he was harassed at my expense.
Mm-hmm.
I show up at the schools not just for my son but for other children. There's other young men that I've mentored, and I take the children and I take them to the Bobcats game, 35 children at a time, because they've never been outside of this county. You know, so I think the last thing I did for this community is wrote a $1.7 million grant for a youth build program that I helped to build, and I don't really kind of, you know, it's their thing, but they know, anyone in my community knows that you can call me. These children, even once I go and speak at these programs and to these children and their parents, they get my number, and it could be 2 or 3 in the morning. They can be stuck somewhere. I will get out of my bed, and I will move. I'm not about talk. I'm about action. There's no reason for us to talk if we're not going to move, if we're not going to do anything about it. If they can club, if you can get your nails done, if you can prepare for a date, if you can prepare for a marriage, then we need to start preparing for these children. They may be our future, but their future starts right now.
That's true, Queen. Absolutely.
Well,
Queen, 614, do you have anything else you want to add to asking the guests or any other comments you want to say?
Well, it's not at this moment. I don't have anything.
Okay, well, you can continue to listen. I'm just going to mute your mic. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Queen. I really appreciate you. Okay, we have someone else. Let's see. Let's get these questions in and let's start rolling. 704-964, you're on Black Power Radio.
What's good, y'all? It's your girl, Solove. I'm on here, Solove.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Queen.
Black power.
Sister Shantae met with her today. We did the video. I just want to say to her, thank you so much for being a fighter. Thank you so much for standing up for your child. We need more mothers like you. And just know that you have support now. And we're not going to stop fighting for your son and what's going on in your community. His court date is December 29th. So we're trying to, like she said, we're going to get active now prior to his court date. I told her earlier today we're going to use her house as a advertisement. We're going to put a huge banner across her beautiful home. Brandon equals Troy Davis, or Troy Davis equals Brandon. And we're going to flood the streets with signs, posters, everything, because yes. Troy Davis said for us to continue to fight in his name. And use his name, because I noticed that when you use Troy Davis, you get people start getting scared, and they start waiting, eyes start rolling, and people start, that's right. That's exactly the reaction that we want, because you already killed one brother. We cannot sit here and keep allowing them to kill our black men. And you see that she said that they had a body found at the school and five
exactly.
other bodies found in the area. You have her son who
is
scared.
Police rights. This sounds so much deeper than police rights.
They want these children to go to school, but then yet they're driving fear at the school.
Exactly.
And so you wonder why there's such a high dropout rate. It's already bad enough teaching our children the wrong history. It's already bad enough that all of our black schools are closing down left and right. Now you have police officers inside the school touching, frisking, beating, harassing our children, and only one mother standing in the gap of this. And this has to stop. So we're going to knock on doors, her neighbor's doors, get them involved, aggravate the hell out of them, go to these churches on Sunday and aggravate the hell out of these church-going people, and let them know that this has to stop. Let her know to continue to fight. We're here for you, and I'm glad that you called the show, and I'm doing all that I can to do my part, and we all must do our part. It's time out for this nonsense. This demon ain't going to stop. This devil ain't going to stop. And so we must not stop. And I'm not going to stop. So just keep fighting, sister, okay? I love you. Black Power.
Thank you. Black PowerPoint. Thank you so much for calling me, Solo. But, yeah, we definitely, let me see. I think I have a couple of questions in the chat room, if you can give me a few seconds here. I'm trying to, I have to reload it when the sister was chatting. Talking. At any rate, sis, one of the questions in the chat room was, do you think it's a bigger conspiracy? Do you think that there is some racism going on?
I think there's a lot of, there is racism going on. They don't hide it. They just feel like a lot of the black people here have a lack of knowledge. And if they don't have a lack of knowledge, they are afraid to move. And the thing is I've been trying to get the mothers.
Go ahead, Clay. We can hear
you. I started a thing called a mother's voice, so that I can educate and help these mothers to help guide them to know what to do when things like this occur. We have to fight. It's nothing wrong with not knowing how to do something and then going and asking someone else.
That's true.
You know, and even, you know, not to get religious, but even in the word it says, my people shall perish from a lack of knowledge. We have to stay educated. And I think to myself, I feel like they look at me, I'm a mother, a black mother, 34 years old, of 9 children. I am a homeowner. I own 2 vehicles, no car payment, and I'm active. I am active. I am out here. I am in these communities. I'm around the drug dealers. I'm around the gang members. They respect me, and I talked to some of them today, and they said, Ms. Shantaya, we will march. We will tell our story. A lot of these young men are dropping out due to Union County police officers harassing them, beating them, kicking their doors in. They just took a lady. She spoke up in school. They took her 5 kids.
Seems like this to me, this justifies more why we definitely need our own nation. This,
right.
This justifies, it clarifies that we need our own nation, we need our own schools, we need to do our own education for our own children, you know, and this is something that we can do. And this even, you know, with our time schedules and our time slots, we should be able to have
homeschools for these children that we can do inside of our very homes, because, again, we need to take our tax dollars out of these schools because our children aren't learning a damn thing, number one. Number two, they're getting threatened and beaten to learn it. And then every time, it's just like a prison, because every time you walk into it, you know, they got the metal detector, you got to be searched, you got to go through all these very things. Sometimes in some neighborhoods, you have to fight your way to school, fight your way home. You know what I mean? And these kinds of things, we should not have to put our children through. It's, you know, when they talk about war, you know, our children go through war every day just to go to school to get an invalid education that is not for us, that is not designed for us. So we really have to really begin to start looking at things, you know, on the terms of nation building. Now, building out, even with small communities, those are easier. With small communities, we really should bear down and start our own schools. Yes, I do believe that we should fight, like, look, you're not going to treat my child like this. But in the meantime, I think we need to start pulling our children out of these schools and start forming our own home schools, because they're not going to get treated right. No matter what we say, we can fight. We can fight. I think we should still fight for those of our children that are in school. But for those of the parents that's not afraid, we really do need to start pulling our children out of these schools. I mean, I just don't know how nice to say it, and start developing our own schools. And if we can go online, it tells you exactly the type of curriculum that we can use for a home school, and they can still go to college pending that. And we have to send them to our own colleges.
Right, right.
You know? Because it's not going to get any. I mean, I'm just saying, someone else tell me what to do, because I don't see it getting any better for us. Because these problems, sisters, that you're talking of, been going on since centuries, since we started building with the white man. I mean, I'm sorry. I got to tell you like it is.
And I got most of my boys are being homeschooled right now. They're being homeschooled.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. So we really need to begin to start talking about that. And then nowadays they do have the police department inside of the schools, which is even more intimidating. You know what I mean? Because the police are not equipped to even deal with our children. You know what I mean? They don't even know how to talk to us, let alone our children, the little people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come from us. We have to stop seeking approval from our slave masters, our foremasters, our prior masters or whoever. We need to stop seeking approval for them. We need to really go back to just raising our own, taking care of our own. If we take ourselves out of these systems, then it's nothing that they can do. But it has to be a band of us. But it starts with one person. If one person says no, and like in your cases, you're like, no, Mom, I'm not going for that. But at the same time, like you said, you're homeschooling your children. So that's the best thing. I still would fight that case, but I would snatch my children out of that situation, because it's not going to get any better. I mean, who wants to wake up to have their child being found on the lawn dead, you know, at school? Because apparently this is something going on. It smells really fishy in your town. And it's not just your town. It's all across the so-called America that, you know, these things, this harassment and these morale things are occurring. This is powerful. And also, I have a couple more things to throw out here that, since we're talking about Know Your Rights. This is one thing. It says, can police lie about being a cop? Guess what? They can.
Yes.
They can, because they can say they're undercover. So just because someone says that they're not a cop, you know what I mean, does not mean that they're not. So that's one of the things. I just want to touch on that. Another situation is, can narcotic officers do drugs while they're on duty? You won't believe this, but yes, they can do drugs while they're on duty. Probably off duty, too, I imagine. But, you know.
No, if they're doing it on duty, they're doing it off duty.
Right. But they can do it on duty. No. They can say, hey, I'm undercover. I have to, you know, it's against my life, you know what I mean? I have to see with this case. I'm trying to get over this case. So they can commit crimes. Better yet, let's talk about this. They can actually commit crimes while they're on duty undercover, stating that, hey, I'm just trying to bust this person to catch them in the act. They can do that. Some things to throw out. A lot of us don't know that. They'll be like, well, he's okay because he did the drugs. We'll be, no, he's not. He's probably a police officer, you know.
So,
sister, explain entrapment, because our version of entrapment and their version of entrapment are two different things. Like,
well,
you're saying they can do drugs with you, you know, or lie to you or whatever else. Sometimes it's like they initiate it. To me,
yeah,
that would
do.
Be entrapment.
They can do that. It's legal. It's perfectly legal.
Right, so what I'm saying is, what is their version of entrapment? What would they consider entrapment? Because the law is out there, you know. So what would be the difference? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It really isn't.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get at.
I mean, that's like a you know what I mean? That's like a win-win-win situation. I mean, they have the right to do that because they can always justify it in the case and say that they're, you know, on duty and they're trying to, you know, do their job. Part of their job may be to smoke that crack with you, with that person,
that's,
I should say. But they have a right to do that.
That's why it's important to exercise your right to remain silent. Because they will lie to you. They gonna tell you your mama turned against you. They gonna tell you your daddy turned against you. Regardless of what they say, remain silent. Don't say anything.
Okay, let me throw something else out there while we're talking. It says, can police officers search someone's pockets if they see them throw something down? Now, I know y'all can answer this. Even if they don't see you throw anything down, they can search your pockets. They will still search your pockets. You can refuse to have them searched, but they will search them anyway.
That is true.
It's powerful. We really, really need to learn our own rights. We have to understand that that there are really not a lot of barriers. After taking this Know Your Rights class, I found out that we do have certain type of rights, but due to this 9/11, due to 9/11, which they did themselves, kind of like really in the Anti-Terrorism Act, basically gives them a right to do a lot of things. Just the other day, we went to the airport. They practically strip searched us. To go to the airport, and let me tell you what airport that is. That was actually Houston's airport, Houston, Texas airport. They practically strip search you, and going through that, nobody else got strip searched, but they do that, and that's why a lot of times they complain about this kind of thing that is done, and we need to really, really understand what exactly it is, and then they try to justify by saying, oh, this is, you know, it's just one out of a hundred when one person has to get searched more than, you know, the next person because they have to go through this little, metal detector. Not only is it a metal detector, but I'm telling you, it goes around and around and around, and it tries to make sure, and it's supposed to be this ultimate machine, so I don't understand how an ultimate machine is so ultimate and so glorious that it sees that you don't have anything on you, but they yet feel like they need to make sure that, you know, you don't. So they proceed with protecting you. Okay, let me throw some other things out here. The pat and search, which we're talking about right now. The police can pat and search you anytime when you are in their presence for weapons. And that's how they would justify it, for weapons. A full search. The police can go into your pockets, your backpack, your shoes, and any part of your vehicle. Everybody's quiet. Y'all are like, wow.
You know what? I just went through the grieving process about 5 times tonight. You know, because, I mean, a lot of this hit home. It's crazy. I mean, it's almost a normal for me because a couple of months ago, I was trying to go through the tunnel. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Norfolk, but they have, like, a downtown tunnel. And I'm sitting at the tunnel, and the officer just come over in my car like, your registration sticker is stolen, and scrape it off my window, you know. So now I don't have a registration sticker. I can't drive anywhere. You know, I can't drive. Now he tore my car. So he took my registration sticker. He took my plates off my car, and he had my car towed. And all that cost me, what, almost $1,000? You know, just for me to get back on the road.
So this is just
basically
going where?
I was going home. I was, you know, because I work down in Virginia Beach, which is about an hour from where I live. So I'm like, I'm just driving home. It was a Friday evening, about 5-6 o'clock. You know, just a regular day, but it was so much traffic. I was just sitting there, and he was just sitting there. So I guess he felt like he needed something to do, and I was it. So that's what he did. And when I went to court, you know, I had to run around and I had to prove, you know, my car was legal, my license was legal, everything. Okay, so I go to court. They throw everything out, but it don't change the fact that I had to pay to get my car towed. It didn't change the fact that I had to, you know, pay for another registration. It didn't change the fact that I had to pay for some more plates, you know. And they're just, like, doing this on the regular whenever they feel like it. And there's nothing basically really you can do. But just hope that you're not the one that they choose to mess with that day. It's crazy.
It is truly is. Sister, you have any more questions for the sister or any other comments? Sister, do you have any more comments? Because this is like really blowing me away. What you're talking about, your story, what happened to your son. This is powerful. This is, man. I don't even. I'm at a loss. I know exactly what to tell you off the phone, but on the terms of on this radio, I'm just kind of going over the right there. Go ahead, Queen. We can barely hear you. You're like breaking up there a little bit. Are you near the radio? If you're listening to the radio, just cut it down. If you're trying to listen to Blog Talk at the same time, cut it down because you're breaking up awfully. Hello? Sister Sylvia, you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sister, you still here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, you were really breaking up extra. So if you could just repeat everything you just said. Go ahead, but I want to know, did you have anything else that's going on in your city, in your town? Because it sounds like it's bigger than, you know, where we're talking about survival. Really, sister, how do you survive living in a town like that you live in?
Let me tell you, I'm taking it day by day. That's all you can do, really, just take it day by day and just, you know, just be aware of the areas that you go. Crazy. Like I said, it's, you know, I'm right here by Jamestown. I live right across the water from Jamestown, Williamsburg. So, you know, they very, very, very own me around here. And plus, like I said, I have a big mouth and a lot of action, so that don't help me either. You know, so I just maintain, as long as I'm still living and breathing, I'm going to continue to do what I do. Because, you know, there's so many people here that, that's like the sister said earlier, they just scared to speak out. It's almost, again, like that Emmett Till situation, mm-hmm. where no one wanted to speak up because they don't want, you know, they don't want it to be them. And
right.
Somebody has to make a stand. Somebody has to say, look, you know, this is it. We can't continue to be treated like this. We can't continue to allow them to misuse us and abuse us and terrorize us and destroy our family. You know, so I just have to continue to do what I do. And like I said, you know, I get a lot of respect around this area, but at the same time, it's just, you know, you got to kind of, you know, tablespoon and baby feed some of these people around here because they just don't know what else to do. They've never been outside of their comfort zone, and sometimes your comfort zone is just to just lay back and not say anything.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Like, okay, for those bodies that keep coming up at their school, what are the parents saying about that? Because let me ask you, before you answer that question, the bodies that are they teenagers that go to that particular school, or they are out of that school? I mean, what is the scenario with that? We can't hear you, sister. If you're talking, we cannot hear you. So, Chip, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hopefully she fade back in.
Sister Queen, we cannot hear you at all. We cannot hear you.
Your phone is totally cut off there. But sister, let me ask you this while we wait for her to come back on and respond. I don't know what's going on with her phone line. It's no telling. But let me ask you a question or two in regards to what are your thoughts on police brutality within your community. Do you think it's really high, or do you think it's low?
It's high. And, you know, the funny thing about it is it's so high that it's just the norm around here. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not even to where people are even upset about it anymore, because it's just something that happened. And see,
that's
when you're different. Used to it, what are you going to do about it? You know, it's just a lot. It's just become accepted around here. Like I said, any given time, any time, they can pull you over, you know, on some bogus whatever. And I'm going to tell you, sister, I think I should have really owned part of Virginia, as much money as I done paid. All the tickets, you know, every time I go somewhere, pretty much I'm getting pulled over for something. You know, and then they write me these tickets. I'm in and out of court. You know, like I said, I'm in and out of court more than the lawyers, the judges, everything. Over the last 3 years, I've been paying almost $10,000 into Virginia in tickets just to have a license, just to, what they say, a license is a privilege, not a right.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to maintain my privilege, as they say, of driving. I mean, because if I don't, and I'm going to tell you here, they take everything goes against your license. You know, if I cuss you out in the street, I get a ticket for that. That go against my license. If I get in a fight, it go against my license. If I say something out of order to one of these officers around here, they can cite me, you know, to go against my license. So they pretty much try to keep you in check and keep you in order around here.
Well, let me ask you one more question. So I'm just trying to get to an angle here. So on the terms of that, with that said, do you all have other means of transportation, like public transportation?
Where I live, no, ma'am.
So that's what. So they basically are trying to get everybody by the ball, so to speak.
Right. And see,
wow.
Like I said, when I work, I travel about an hour and a half. And we do have a bus here, but you still have to catch a ride to the bus stop. You know, it's still, 10 miles away, and it only runs till about 4:30 in the evening. So, you know, it's not going to do me any good.
Right.
You know, I make my money off transportation, so, you know, I have to make sure I stay straight. But at the same time, I'm kind of well known in this area, so like I said, I do get pulled over quite often.
Of course. Well, here's a couple more survival lessons, since we're talking about survival, because I really want that sister to call back in. That would be great, because I really want to know how she survived in her city.
Right.
When you are pulled over, you need to keep silent. When you are in police custody, you need to ask for what? A lawyer. Remember, the police do not want to ever help you. We're talking about survival here. Credibility. The police has no credibility whatsoever in the black community.
Nice.
You should understand that they really, a lot of times they don't really have any knowledge of the situation. The more you talk, the more knowledge that they gain. And just because the officers may agree with you, that does not make them your friend. Their job is to solve that case. Their job is not to be your friend. Some, again, they will lie to you to act like they're your friend. Sometimes they may ask you non-threatening questions that apparently offer you comfort. They offer you soda. They offer you juice. They offer you chips. They offer you snacks just to get you to relax. In some cases, to get your fingerprints. So remember to keep silent at all times. Every time a police officer says anything to you for a reason, to secure a convention. What happens if you speak? Just say no comment. Say no comment. I wish to maintain my right to the right of silence. Brothers and sisters, you have the right to remain silent. Please utilize that right. Please utilize that amendment. More pitfalls. What is a pitfall you may avoid? Being desperate to gaining them information, doing a lie detector test. That is not good. No, you say no to that. Because they could say that you failed. You might have failed because you're nervous, and those lie detector tests do not hold up in court. So what's the point of even taking them? Are you trying to convince them, or are you trying to convince yourself? They always have, when they're interrogating you, they always are going to have a good cop, bad cop. That is customarily. One cop is going to be the asshole. The other cop is going to be really nice and fair to you and appear fair. Bear in mind, again, I'm going to say this again, the police will lie to you no matter what. Denial is a portrayal of weightlessness. It means nothing. Okay? Do not give. They will lie to you and tell you that we have a full statement from such and such. They will, like the sister said, they will use your mother, your father, your brother, your child, your dog, your cat, just to say that you did something. When you know for a fact, they will have you in there for so long, they will probably convince you that you did something. You might have to question yourself because they have you in so long. Now, we're talking about they are trained psychologists. They are trained to do that. They are trained to show no emotion. They are trained to always accuse you, always ask you accusatory questions. That is their job. Sister, you have anything else to add?
Nope, I agree with everything you say. Don't talk to them. No questions. No, you're not my friend. No, I don't want no hug. No, I don't want no soda. You know. No. Like that.
I just want a phone call. You have a right to a phone call, though. They might lie to you and tell you that you don't have a right to a phone call, but you really do have a right to a phone call. And then you do have a right to give them your correct name and address. That's pretty much it. That's the only thing I would say. Other than that, when they start asking you, where are you going? Well, that's their favorite question. Where are you going? You know what I mean? Their favorite question in the world to ask you, where are you going, who you going with, and what you plan on doing there. Can I have a search? No. You know, can I search a car? Do you have a right? I refuse to search. It's just as simple. I can go into it. I can break down certain techniques. But the bottom line is that you do not have to. You refuse to search. You just give them your name, your basic information, and that's basically it.
And, you know, they always do, and this is how I notice how they get these young brothers and sisters around here. They tell them, listen, if you just tell me the truth and you did this, then we'll be a lot easier or it'll be better for you. Don't fall for it.
Yes. They cannot talk. They have no jurisdiction on talking to the prosecuting attorney to have them to, you know, declare it you know what I mean, to declare self-defense or, what you know, be light on you because you're a child, because you're younger or anything like that. This is your first offense. They have no pull like that. Please believe me, they don't. And it just goes into deeper aspects of it about, like, really remaining
do I have to remain in police? If you're not under arrest, you do not have to remain in custody. If you're not, let me say this again, if you're not under arrest, you do not have to remain in custody. Let me say that, because they'll tell you you can leave at any time. We need to really begin to read these Bill of Rights. We need to go back over them as people. And I know that it's really, really clear. I don't know about you all or anybody else, but it should be really, really clear that we need to start our own nation. I don't know what else to say. This, to me, is justifies us starting our own nation. We do not have any rights as a human being. We're not being able to be heard. We're not being able to be respected in our own communities, which we're paying taxes for. Why in the hell are we still paying taxes if we still have to go through the slavery? This is modern-day slavery. In some forms, if you go in some other states, it's straight-up slavery. It's more or less than modern-day slavery, you know? And then anytime they have to amend the law for you, what does that say? Laws can always be changed. They can always amend laws, irregardless to what you say. And to search, to be honest with you, they do have to have a search warrant, but because of the 9/11, to get into your home, you have the right to refuse search. You do not have to let them in. Don't even open the door. On those terms, I must say that when they come to your door and want to talk to you, you can talk to the door. You do not have to open the door. Do not open the door, because once you open the door, you're setting yourself up. Once you have your trunk open, you know what I mean, then they right. will go through your trunk. Once you have your, what do they call it, glove compartment open, you always, it's just a reminder, brothers and sisters, start keeping your glove compartments locked in certain cases. And then if you have a right to carry, you need to really know what your right to carry is, because in a lot of cases you cannot carry in certain states. So that's some things that really have to be talked about, sister. Well, what are your thoughts? What is your thoughts on, sister, really? Have you, within your community, have you begun to really start separating yourself upon survival? Because we obviously we're not surviving in their world.
Oh, I'm surviving out here. Yeah, you know what? I have started separating. Matter of fact, one of my daughters, like the sister said earlier, I had pulled her out of school and she's being homeschooled. And I'm trying to get with a few sisters down in Norfolk so we can start a homeschooling program where we can actually start, you know, sending our own children. Because I'm gonna tell you, really, they're kicking our kids out of school anyway.
And yeah, they are.
They giving them, you know, these little programs here. Let me give you a little bit. You can study at home by yourself type thing. And, you know, my philosophy is we need to separate to educate anyway. I'm 190% behind separating, because it seems my children need to know that's not going to be taught, you know, in the government institution. So I have started separating them now. You know, my older son, he's a senior. He don't really want to leave, you know, high school. He want to go ahead and graduate. He's almost done. So, I left that up to him. But the rest of them, I'm pulling out. I already teach him, you know, things at school. I mean, things at home. Because it was funny, one of my other daughter that's still in the public system, today she had asked me, I guess she's doing a report, and she had asked me, well, she was like, Mama, when did slavery end? And I was like, you make sure you put down on that paper it hasn't ended. And she was like, no, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. No, I said, you put that down on the paper, it hasn't ended, and I will sign it. And if your teacher have a problem with it, she can call me tomorrow. And that's what I believe. I don't believe slavery ended. You tell me when it ended. You know, and that was a discussion we had earlier tonight, because it's just crazy how we have to live around here. So we're at the point, like I said before, we're growing our own vegetables, so we don't do a lot of grocery shopping. We don't, you know, mingle with the community as much as we used to, because it's a lot of brainwashing around here, you know, and it's a lot of other people not accepting what I'm about, and they're, you know, making it hard for my children. I don't care about me, but, it's a little hard on my children to maintain. So I'm
just,
you know.
So how do you cope with that? Because that is really serious in a lot of cases, you know, because a lot of the children want to fit into their, you know, own peer groups. How are you able to, how do you talk to them about that? How do you make them feel okay about, you know, stepping differently, not, you know, being a part of this system?
Because, like I said, I mean, my children and I, we spend a lot of time together, and I'm constantly making a lesson out of everything. You know, if something happens, I'll say, see how white people sit together? That's what happens when you're in this situation, and that's what happens. So they're getting more of an understanding because they're becoming more conscious to what's going on around them. So it doesn't affect them as much. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the beginning, it used to piss me off a lot, you know, because, like I said, with me being in a small town, not from a small town, it was a lot of, they were treating us like aliens. You know, we weren't from here, so we didn't belong, and they let us know we didn't belong. And it just got, you know, I just had to get adjusted to it. Now I don't care. You know, people around here, they think I do voodoo. You know, they think I'm crazy. That's cool. I don't care. That means they don't bother me as much, you know. But as far as the children, it was a little hard on them at first. But like I said, we sit together, so they're getting more adjusted to the fact that we're royalty and everybody else is not. That's kind of how they, you know, we have to look at it. So that's how we get along around here.
Well, let me do an announcement. We do have someone that's in the chat room. They said that in Atlanta, that a young man was shot, a black male of 19 years old, was shot 3 times in the chest.
Yeah,
and on October the 22nd, they will be having a National Day Against Police Brutality at 4 p.m. there. So I just wanted to, I'm glad, thank you so much, Freedom of Voices, for giving me that tidbit of information. Well, I definitely would love to put that out there for you. So if you're in the area of Atlanta, let me find out if this person has any contact information. Let me see if we have anybody else that would like to say anything else. Oh, I think we have another caller. We have 334-450, you're on Black Power Radio.
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You didn't have your hand up. I'm so glad you said something in the chat room. If you hadn't said anything, brother, I wouldn't have put you on because you didn't have your hand up. Next time, press one. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought I had pressed the one, but I'm not for sure because I was so disorientated by what I was hearing. Who am I speaking with? This is Dennis Lake.
Yes, sir. This is the National Assistance System. Mirror, how you doing, brother?
Okay, I'm just I don't know where the brother's at tonight, so I'm just gonna say like I said. I don't like to go biblical in arenas like this, but I'm gonna have to go biblical on arenas like this. They have a story about why you trying to get the speck out of my eye, you need to get the beam out of yours. Okay, let me explain to you. Black people have beams all up in their eye, both eyes, mm-hmm. all up in their face. You understand what I'm saying? And when you're dealing with these police, and see, me personally, I have a history with police, and I keep a video camera with me at all times because of my history.
Precisely. Yes, sir.
Right. With my 12-year record with highly being profiled, harassed, and abused, misused by police. And I'm talking about Montgomery, Alabama, where racism runs real deep and hardcore. And like up in North Carolina or whatever, places like that, like with the different things that's going on, see, some people, some races, wear their racism on their chest and on their forehead. Other places, like up in New York and other places, they hide it. But the problem is if I get pulled over, and like you said, where you going? I'm going wherever I want to go. I'm not going, none of your business where I'm going. That ain't none of your business. You know, because this is not no Gestapo, this is not no Germany, this is not no Hitler, Lorraine, none of that type of stuff. But see, that's how they play you. And see, when you have a beam in your eye, you get, you know, that's why every time, you know, I'm telling you now, every black male probably thinks about when they get up in the morning and go out the door because of all of the other black men that get gunned down. Mm-hmm. Every black male in America has to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But see, white people, they have a beam in their eye because they can't feel where we coming from. See,
right.
they don't have to worry about getting up and getting shot down that day because you don't hear about unarmed white men getting shot. But then, you know, they, you know, and I want to say on another show that it is not the fact that they target practice on a white piece of paper with a black object on it. That ain't it. You know, so I'm just kind of disoriented because I don't hear any black men. I don't hear any black males. I don't even hear any black boys. And what our problem is, and I'm not talking about Malik or King Shamir, Sean, Quarry. I'm not talking about none of them. I'm just saying that our
problem
is.
You talking about calling into the show? Okay.
Huh?
You talking about calling into the show, or you just saying standing up, period?
No, I'm saying standing up, period.
Okay,
I'm well aware of what the three brothers do, what they do, and many more. But I'm saying our black sisters are out there unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
Because just a few black men cannot protect millions of black women. You see what I'm saying? And I'm just disorientated right now, and I have been for some while, because just like sister like you, you said you know you got a lot of haters that are black, right or wrong?
Of course, brother. Every day, all day.
Okay, and see, that's what pisses me off, and that's why I say we need to get rid of them, and shun them away from us, and rise up, and bring them along when they're ready to do right. But until they're ready to do right, they need to sit down and get up out the way. And I'm just ticked off because I heard about this boy up in the Carolina area getting abused by the police at school, the dead bodies being found, and all this type of stuff. I'm pissed off about that. You know.
Oh, yeah,
we should be
pissed off as black people. We need to really begin to dig more into that. And, yes, it is a huge issue that, you know, we are suffering within the black community because, again, like you said, we do have a lot of sisters that are really facing the rafters by themselves, and we're basically doing it by ourselves, and not a lot of black men are standing up. It is some black men that are standing up, but we need more. You know, that is the thing. We do need more brothers. Please, you know, come stand up with us, on side of us, in front of us. You know what I mean? We
just
should
somewhere
have
around.
Keep dragging you. Yeah, we would have to keep dragging you, kicking and screaming. So we do need more. You know, you're right, Brother Dennis, that we'll stand up like yourself and Brother Kweli and our national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and folks like that, and King Samir and folks like that. We do need more of us that's going to really be there for the long haul, not just a temporary, you know, one-night stand type of deal. You know, we do need these revolutionary Pan-Africanists. And just your general, you know, brother, if you say you're a thug and you say you're so hard and, you know, you'll do this and you'll take bullets from me, well, brother, here's your chance. Prove it now. You know, so, yeah, we do need more of that. Brother Dennis, let me ask you a question. Since you, because
okay,
you did call in, and once you call into this show, we reserve the right. Since we're talking about rights, we do reserve the right to ask you a couple of questions. Well, one question we have, like you said, you have a long history with the pigs in your city. Could you give us, I guess, a bit of information about, like, you know, where you are from, or and what happened, what led you to get into this strongness that you have?
All right, well, I'm originally from Syracuse, New York. I grew
mm-hmm.
up with white, black, Asian, Native American friends. I'm talking about friends you died for. That's how I grew
mm-hmm.
up. In 1988, I moved to the South, Alabama. I love the weather down here, and I have that right to stay here. And when the sheriff's department illegally broke into my house about 12 years ago, illegally, I say, no search warrant, while I was at work, working for the government, at a place called Sterling Software. I was building servers. Those computer boxes that you all have, when you get on your computer, desktop, but they were servers, and their boxes are a lot bigger, and that's what they use to communicate with each other from platoon to platoon or whatever they call them. And when I was building servers, I got a call from ADT, and long story short, when nobody did anything about the illegal break-in, a computer was missing that I had built for a, what's it called? I was going to do a higher learning with my ministry, which is called One Lathan Ministries. I was building one computer out of 19. The first one was going to be the prototype so they could see I could do the job, how long it would take, so they could know how long it would take me to build 19 computers, because that one computer was going to be the master computer, and the other 18 were going to train up children, youth, young adults, and adults. It was going to be youth on the weekends, and Monday through Friday was going to be adults, because I wanted to train them up on using computers, getting savvy with the internet, and the youth, teaching them things like Photoshop, 3D animation, video editing, music production, audio production, and all of this type of thing, and building how to build websites. This is what I wanted to do. That got stopped when the sheriff illegally broke into my house and stole a computer, the brand new computer, which I had to replace, which I didn't have the money. I lost all credibility because they thought I stole the computer myself, and so I lost that gig. And when I started going to the DA, to the governor's office, to the attorney general's office, to the FBI, CIA, DEA, all of the Department of Justice, from Alabama to Washington, D.C., when you call D.C., they send you back to Alabama. When you tell D.C. Alabama is in cahoots with the good old boys, they still send you back to Alabama. They don't help you. So after I got no help, I went to the attorneys. I called every attorney in the phone book from A to Z in Montgomery, Alabama, and 98%+ of them would not take the case, who handle cases like that, and maybe two out of hundreds told me that they have to live here. And I had one tell me a $10,000 retainer fee, which I didn't have. Okay. Then when that didn't work, I started calling into the radio shows and the live TV shows, live radio shows, and I started telling people what happened to me and asked if anybody could help me. Everybody always wanted to tell me to go to a lawyer, and I told them I've already been that route. When I started making noise, I started getting harassed by the police. I started getting tickets. One time I got 7 tickets in 1 week. I took those tickets, I put them up under my windshield wipers and drove around the city like that for about a month. Okay? I was paying almost $250 a month just for liability insurance on my car. I got a car and a truck. I can't afford to ride two now. But the thing is, it's coming down now, but the thing is they were giving me tickets, and you know you can't win on a speeding ticket. There were never no radar guns to tell me the speed I was going. I asked to see it, you know, but there was never that. And I even got a ticket one time and held for 45 minutes after a cop was leaving out of a side street to pull out in the main traffic, and he started pulling in front of me, and I had to slam on brakes and go off into the grass almost, and I looked at him like he was half crazy. He got pissed because of the way I looked at him and pulled me over. Held me there for 45 minutes, searched my vehicle twice against my will, and then the only thing I had a ticket for was for my trailer hitch, which came on the truck when it was bought, for blocking the license plate. Had to pay $120-some for that. But before all of that, I was getting my car searched several times. I would have talk on radios and TV, and I said I'm not scared to die, which I'm not, and that's a fact today. Matter of fact, today, long story short, I went to a live radio show today where the mayor of Montgomery is the mayor of Todd Strange, who is a member of an all-white, whites-only country club. But Montgomery is predominantly black. Why would you be a white mayor but be a member of this country club? How is that going to benefit black people, the majority? How is that going to make you choose equally and fairly among black and white? It's not. So I was down there today, and I met up. I was down there calling the film, and the enemy, I mean, God brought the enemy to me, made him a footstool today because of the fact that when I did call down there recently to complain again about these things that happen, and this is another thing that they do. They'll purposely stall these things out so the 2-year statute of limitations will run out, and then you can't do anything. So all of the illegal searches, all of the times I was forced to shut my camera off, none of this was brought up. Nobody was charged for it. Nobody was, no complaints were filed against them because I couldn't find out the officers' names because they wouldn't tell me. And I do have a video of a police car that tried to run me off the road, and then they called me. I mean, when I called to make a complaint, they told me the car didn't exist, and then I have pictures of the car, the patrol car, and I have video of it not too long after that, and video of it just a couple years ago that the car still exists. So long story short, that's what got me into this, because when I started calling the radio shows and TV shows, most people thought I was crazy because the sheriff said it never happened. Sheriff said I was paranoid. He said I was schizophrenic. I was seeing things. And this is what the rumor has always been for the past 12 years about me, is that I'm crazy. I'm not on my medications. When I'm not on my medication, I call down and want to raise hell. And this is what they said about me. But, you know, today when I faced my enemies, one of the ones who said I was a possible serial killer said I was a straight-up fool, and said that different things to me that I recorded over the air, or over the telephone, I mean, when I called him, he apologized to me. A black guy who's the protection for the mayor. He apologized to me. I said, apology's not good enough. You need to fix the problem. I don't need your money. I don't want to sue you. I want you to fix the problem. You know, I want you to fix these lies that you all tell about me. So bottom line, this is how I got into it, because I see what's happening. And
Okay, I'm sorry. But now, are you getting any type of support at this point at all?
Let me say it like this. No. But the thing is, I stand alone, and I stand with Jesus, and I stand behind Jesus on everything I do. That's just how I roll. I'm fully connected and in a close personal relationship with God, so I don't feel any evil.
Okay, but at this point, do you have any issues with anybody breaking in your house or, you know, violating you on that level?
No, not anymore. Not since I set up, because they know I keep a camera with me. But they're doing it to other people. But still, even, you know, now they won't mess with me. I was in Montgomery twice today. And before, when I was on Facebook, I used to go to Montgomery, but I wouldn't announce it because they would look for me. But now I announce it. I have no fear now because I have that much authority and power now. But see, look what I had to go through to get authority and power against these hogs.
But wait a minute, why did they break in your house in the first place? I don't think I
know
that.
I never know today why they did that. I believe they did it because I was successful. I was a website designer. I was a 3D animation artist. I did a lot of video production work for a lot of big companies outside of Alabama, for Georgia and California, New York and Chicago. And they didn't like that, I guess. That's the only thing I could come up with. There was no reason. And I was also told to get out of that house because they probably planted drugs in there. So I did what I was told. I got out of that house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask you, did you have any issues with your neighbors, or how did they react to you being harassed that close to them? I mean, did they?
There were black neighbors, and a pastor's wife who lived across the street told me she saw a man in a brown suit, which is the color of the sheriff department, walk out with a light tan box in his hand, which is the color of the computer. So, you know, she's dead now, but the thing is, you know, nothing was never done. So, you know, I stand because I know if they can do this to me, and I have a voice, now I have a voice, I always had a voice, I can just imagine what they do to people who are scared of them and have a beam in their eye and can't see the truth. And last thing I'll say, I've looked at two times during 30-plus years in prison for crimes I didn't commit, but my alibi was too strong, so they didn't even bother to bring me in. And I'm going to tell you now, they probably could never hold me in a prison because I'd start a revolution within the prison and take over. So, but the bottom line is, I know what it's like, and a lot of our brothers are put in jail, in prison, and all these type of things because they have beams in their eye and they can't see through everything. And you know the high percentage of people that are blacks in prison are through plea bargains because they're facing 20 years, but if they plead guilty, they'll only do 2 or 3. They know they
And you know what? You're right about that. I'm sorry, a little bit off the subject, but I understand what you're saying because a lot of these, and I'm noticing a lot of the youth that I work with around here, if they get involved or find themselves in any type of trouble, the first thing automatically, especially if they have a court-appointed attorney, they automatically say, look, just go ahead and plead. You know, just go ahead and take this plea or so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. So you're right. A lot of our brothers and sisters are just plea bargaining because, you know, they don't know their rights. Two, you know, whenever you implant that fear, what else you gonna do?
Right. And the last thing, that plea bargain is nothing but a beam in their eye. That's what it is. It's a beam in their eye, and they can't see past that.
So let me ask you something. With you being a loner there and me being a loner here, what we gonna do? Look, you crazy, I'm crazy. What we gonna do?
Well, first of all, how I do things, I face my enemy with a camera in their face, and I get them to, I force them to lie on live television, live radio, and I just keep gathering information, but I stick a camera in their face. And, you know, these cameras are so cheap. Yeah, let me say this.
I want you to finish your comment. I really do. But before you do that, I want you to definitely include in your comment about, you know, one of your blogs because I want people to know see your blogs because they are very, very informative. If you could talk about one of your blogs, the one blog that you did, if you can point them to one of the blogs that you did when you confronted the police department.
Okay. I post that over in the chat room, the live conversation. I'm just going to say that we black people have, they have money. They can get these phones with these cameras on, these video cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, everybody just might have a video camera now, even
exactly.
if it's on their phone. What you
exactly.
need to do when you're riding down the street, whatever you're doing, you need to have it handy. Most phones have a button that'll go straight to your camera. And you can push it 2 times, and it'll give you a choice for camera or video. And you just click down and go to video, and you hit that video button. And even if it's, you see somebody pull over, you need to pull over. You need to pull over, too, and videotape that. Man, we have too much access. Because, see, they use it against us. They got a camera on every corner, every gas station. So if there's a robbery across the street, they'll go to that gas station to find, you know, to see if they can catch a car. So let's use it against them. Let's use their own devices against them. And that's what I do. I use what tape. Black people don't own the airways. Black people don't own the frequencies. But I use it against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I'll put some in the chat room right quick of one of the
But tell the listening audience, because everybody's not in the chat room, but if you could tell the listening audience, definitely, like, you know, where they can find your blog, because they are interesting, and they will help people that are, like, really shy, don't know really what to say, but they can do leading, because you ask a lot of great leading questions to the police officers, to the pigs in Hill City. So if you could, like, really tell them where to find this information, that would be great.
All right, well, I have so much, excuse me,
tell them what to Google, a little something.
Okay, Dennis C. Latham, D-E-N-N-I-S, middle initial C, last name Latham, L-A-T-H-A-M. If you Google my name, you'll find all you need to find. And if you remember that name, you can just look for my WordPress blogs. And you can look for me on YouTube under that same name also. and you'll see I have over 200 videos.
Okay. That's impressive. Okay, well, Brother Dennis, like, do you mind holding on for just 1 second? I think we might have somebody that have a question for you, or maybe sister for yourself or me. Let's find out right now. Because they've been holding on for like 30 minutes, so let me get them in. It's 757-349-48. You're on Black Power Radio. You're in the after show.
Black Power, sisters. Power.
Black Power.
I was calling because I'm just listening, and I'm really interested in, I want to commend the sister that said that she homeschooled her children. She grows her own vegetables. We need to do that. We need to separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I'm upset. My kids are the only black kids in their class, let alone my son's the only dark one. So he feels a kind of way. And
now, where are you calling from? I know you're in Virginia.
I sure am. I'm calling. Well, my kids go to school out in Yorktown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most of his classmates are the white and Chinese kids.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Virginia folks calling in tonight.
Oh, yeah. And we need to have our own nation. We need to have our own education system. I'm all for it. So however I can hook up with the sister that does do this, I'm with it. I'm ready to put my all black on right now. But, you know, you like the way the other sister said, you can't just speak out like that. They're
going
to be ready to send the people to
you out. Okay, well, listen, sister, you can hit me up on Facebook. Long name, A Touch of Soul to Soul, A-T-O-U-C-H-S-O-U-L-T-O-S-O-L-E, and it's one word. Just type it in and I'll pop right up. Okay.
Get us your contact information, sister, because we're really trying to work on this sisterhood training. We're trying to really build, you know, in regards to, you know, sisterhood and what we need. You know, this is an informational block, you know, stage, and we need to get, you know, help one, teach one, reach one. You know, we really need to get out there and get that going because our people need it. You know, our babies and our children and our husbands and our boyfriends and our kings. And all of our family, you know, just need more information. So if we can begin to touch more of each other and get in contact with you, and we don't want no state, you know, if you're in a separate state from us, we don't want to just not be able to contact you. But I know we are in the after show, and, you know, within the after show, they can cut this off any minute. So before we can end this after show, let me go ahead and give out this information before they cut everything off, because the white man is the devil. To get in contact, to be a member of the New Black Panther Party, or to become a member, or to get more information regarding the National Day of Action, it is to text 502-299-8530. To get an email, to send an email you want to join, you're interested, please, we will forward you the New Black Panther Party new recruitment manual to you. We can forward that to you, and we will forward the application to you. So if you could get that information in, that would be the first process. And then we have everybody look over that information, and then following up with you weeks to come, and then we will start classes all over again for those that are interested in that stage. At any rate, that email address is nbpphq@yahoo.com. For the Brother Dennis, give him the website since you have the courtesy of running. Brother Dennis still on the line?
Yeah, you want the website,
okay,
for
the
Day of Action?
Yes, sir.
Day of Action is www.dayofactionmovement.org, DayofActionMovement, movement, dayofactionmovement.org.
Okay, and also we want to give you that email address. It's nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. So if you want to get, you know, more interested in the National Day of Action, if you really want to build with us and build the sister and myself, you can definitely get us a contact, like she said, on Facebook, or you can hit me up on Mira Sankofa on Facebook. That would be great. Or, you know, you can hit up Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz if you want to touch base with our national chairman. We definitely have to, you know, give all praise to him, because I'm really happy to be really associated and working with the new Black Panther Party, and he is definitely a strong soldier and a strong leader. So I want to bear witness to that, and I hope that, you know, he can come to the Midwest. I'm throwing him under the bus here. If he can come to the Midwest pretty soon. The Midwest misses him and would love his presence. But, Brother Dennis, do you have anything else to say before I wrap it up?
I will say this. Some years ago, I was asked to pick up Malik from Birmingham, Alabama, to bring him to Montgomery on a bunch of killings of black men. And that was my connection to hear him speak. That was my boost and my power to stand up even taller and stronger. And the last thing I want to say, people, get the beam out of your eyeballs. Start using their own devices against them. Use your video on your camera, on your phone. Use that. Document everything. And record the phone call, because when you call these people up and try to get help that's supposed to help you, put it on speakerphone. And then turn your microphone on your computer and record the conversation, so when they lie to you, you can hold it against them. That's it. Peace. No compromise.
That's right, brother. Brother Dennis Latham, we really appreciate everything that you have done for New Black Panther Party, and not just the New Black Panther Party, but for the nation, for the black nation. And we definitely really will continue to support you and love you as much as we can, brother. Thank you so much. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Yeah, we're going to end this. I'm going to go ahead, and if we could go ahead and end this. Again, we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight, you know, on Black Power Radio. You know, we really do appreciate that. But if anybody else has anything else formal to say, please do so right now, because we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I just want to give my guests the last final word and my co-host the final word. Sister, you still on here?
I'm still on here.
Okay.
Just to reiterate, say no to the police. Don't answer any questions. Make sure you practice your rights to remain silent. Peace, love. Let's build a nation. Black power.
All right. Black power, everybody. Black power, black power. We love you. We want everybody to continue to tune in. We'll be back on Wednesday. The sisters will be back on Wednesday. And brothers, please feel free to call. And if you have any more comments, if you have any more suggestions, even for shows, we like those too. We like, you know, more suggestions for shows. You can definitely do that. Or if you want to, like, again, shoot us up, hit us up on the email, mbpp@hq.com. That would be great to join the New Black Panther Party, because, again, we need more strong men to stand up while we in this beast. We definitely need you, brothers. We're welcoming you back. Come back to your homes. We're begging y'all to come back, because we are tired of fighting alone. Black power.
Until the philosophy which old one race superior and another in